I told y'all the Steelers were going to beat the Bengals. I said it would come down to turnovers. I said there might be some wacky stuff. I didn't expect this wacky stuff. But this is a win that Mike Tomlin often gets from his team. Got them black Air Forces. They walked in their trap. They took over their trap. And the Steelers are 1-0. TJ Watt questions are certainly a big problem. But Minkah Fitzpatrick coming in there, the way they handled Joe Burrow. We're going to break down everything that went right for the Steelers and what could have gone better right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's a Victory Monday here for your Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm Chris Carter of the Locked On Steelers podcast. You can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoy it. Hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes, as well as our bonus content. We thank you for making us your first listen every day. Steelers fans, you got to be feeling good. Now, I know TJ Watt, we'll get to that in a bit. TJ Watt's injury, very scary, pec injury. We're not sure if it's torn and if it's anything else. I am going to bring a doctor on this show. If you're a longtime listener of the show, it's Dr. Karina Maharaja. She has been on this show before when we talked about Devin Bush's ACL way back when we actually tore it. We're bringing her on tomorrow to go over the potential injuries for him. Also, Najee Harris's injury. We'll get to that. But Steelers fans, I get you maybe down about what, but this was an amazing win. This was a gutsy, willed win by your Pittsburgh Steelers. And so many things were proven about what they believe that this defense could be this year. That was the AFC champion offense that was said to be the new big thing that was going to take over the world. It was going to be better than Patrick Mahomes. It was going to be better than Tom Brady. It was going to be the best thing ever. And y'all saw. I just want to remind you, I picked this game to go similar to this way. I said originally I thought of 24-20. I said 24-20 with Jenna when we did the Friday episode. During the Thursday crossover, I picked another score that was weird just because James, one of the co-hosts over at Locked On Bengals, picked 24-20 Bengals. And I wanted to be a little bit different, but I told y'all it's really 24-20. That's how it's going to come down for the Steelers. And it was 23-20. I was pretty close. But Minkah Fitzpatrick, in the biggest of moments, continues to show up for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Still led the team with 14 tackles, but also had the pick six to start the game, had the blocked extra point to send the game to overtime, and was consistently, in my opinion, when I was looking at the film, in Joe Burrow's head. I want to get to that in a sec, but a lot of Steelers fans, a lot of you all are watching on YouTube, pointing out that when I gave my prediction last week, there was a bit of disbelief from the Bengals guys. I want to point out this in that clip. Here's that clip from our Thursday episode. It'll come down to a late drive, and I think in that late drive, that's when the Steelers defense, they get to pin their ears back. You'll get a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception, and that's how they'll win the game.
So you have four Boswell field goals and two touchdowns. Interesting. That'd be a big day.
That would be a crazy day, but you know, I think you'll have some turnovers from the defense to help that. But you know, this is the team that they found a way to win even when Ben Roethlisberger was in his prime. They found a way to win with Chris Boswell making like six field goals in a single game in a playoff game. Like this is Mike Tomlin's element, and that is what if this was Bill Cowher as the head coach for the Steelers, I wouldn't be picking them to win. But Mike Tomlin, he lives for these type of weeks, and I think that he's got something cooking right now.
I think sometimes you're just outmatched. I mean,
I think it was the Bengals who were outmatched because the Steelers defense was everywhere. This wasn't just TJ Watt this time. Alex Highsmith had three sacks. Cam Hayward was getting busy. Robert Spillane had a sack. Arthur Marlette had a sack, a crucial sack, by the way, that set the Bengals back out of field goal range in the end of overtime. That gave the Steelers the punt that set them up so that they can get one drive to get a field goal and get the win. And yes, like I said, originally I was going to pick 20-24, and it didn't work out that way. So I was like, but you know, maybe I was onto something about the Steelers being better than the Bengals in this game. Now, maybe the Bengals, and I said in our, we had a big crossover division talk that we had that was on the Locked On Podcast Network. And in that, I said, I think the Bengals and Steelers will tie at the end of the year in record, and it'll be a tiebreaker that determines it. But I also said, I think they're going to split this season, and I think the Steelers are going to win this first game. Called it. Now, what went into this, I don't think it was just Minkah Fitzpatrick. By the way, in my opinion, I've said along, he's still the best safety in the league. If you've doubted this, I hope that you've learned your lesson to not doubt that man. Not only was he a leader in making plays, he was a leader on the field. Whenever the Bengals wanted to bark and get their momentum going, he was barking right back. He was telling them, no, get back to your huddle. When Joe Mixon started to talk his talk a little bit, by the way, what did I say was a big key for this game all week long? To make Joe Burrow one-dimensional was to make sure Joe Mixon just didn't really impact the game. 27 carries, 82 yards. I'm going to do the math on my calculator right in front of y'all because this is how ridiculous this day was. That's 3.0304 if you round up the seven there. That's barely 3 yards a carry. They shut him down. And what happened? It forced Joe Burrow to be one-dimensional, and it played right into this defense's hands. 4 interceptions, 7 sacks, 2 forced fumbles on Joe Burrow, one of which was recovered. The other saved the day and forced the punt that set up the winning drive for the Steelers. This wasn't just guys winning one-on-ones. This was a great game plan from Mike Tomlin to Terrell Austin, the defensive coordinator, to Brian Flores, the senior defensive assistant. It's a long way of saying he's helping the defensive coordinator. They were in position. It's tough for me to pick on a defensive player who didn't play well in this game. Akello Witherspoon had an interception. I thought he played really well. Cam Sutton had an interception. I thought he had a couple bogus penalties that were taxed on him that I'm like, wasn't called the other way when the Steelers had the chance were getting held. I thought Terrell Edmonds played an okay game. He didn't make a lot of big plays, but he was in position to make things harder for Joe Burrow. I thought Devin Bush had a very good game. 5 tackles. He was all over the field. He was able to help shut down the run play. He was a big part of what kept Joe Mixon in check. Miles Jack, 10 tackles. Again, Alex Highsmith, 9 tackles, 3 sacks. TJ Watt, 6 tackles, 1 sack, an interception. Just all around, this defense chipped in, and this was the chaos that they wanted to bring with this defense to make it an elite group. And make no mistake, this was an elite defensive performance. Yes, they gave up a touchdown in the end. If you go back and you look at the calls that extended the Bengals, several of the Bengals' drives, game, you know, play after play after play, I think that the Steelers got hosed in this one. They needed to overcome it, and they did. If they lost this game, I still say, hey, they needed to be better on offense. They needed to do this. They needed to do that. I thought the biggest mistake on defense that they made all game was in that last touchdown pass to Jamar Chase at the buzzer. That they should have, he should have been bracketed. They should have had Minka and Akello on him so that Akello could force on taking away the inside. Minka takes away the outside, or vice versa. And then Joe Burrow has to win with somebody else. But I also get that they were gassed and the defense played a ridiculously amazing game on top of that. When you limit a team to what it was, 2 touchdowns, because don't forget it was 2 field goals and a 2-point conversion that got them the other 8 points. But I look at this as a dominant performance and a statement win for the defense. Now, again, we'll talk about the injuries in a second here, but go back and watch this game. And I know Steelers fans, you probably have already if you're sitting there. I did a little bit because I wanted to do some prep for the show, but there were so many times the Steelers, just from the broadcast angle, I can't wait to see the All-22 of this game. But the secondary was doing so much behind the pass rush whenever Joe Burrow dropped back. And again, it's all set up by stopping the run, by making Joe Burrow say, okay, we know that you're not handing off Joe Mixon here because it's 3rd and long. You need to take to the air. And now the secondary, the linebackers, the safeties, the corners, they can play off each other. They can create some disguised coverages. And that's what was happening to Joe Burrow. He wasn't sure what he was seeing most of the time. And even some of the plays that he made, he had to hold on to the ball and pat it for a while and hope that the Steelers' pass rush didn't get home. And there were sometimes it didn't, and I think those were his biggest plays. But there weren't that many plays where Joe Burrow dropped back and just immediately was like, oh, yeah, this guy's wide open. Bang, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit this guy over here. That's what he did late last year when they had a lead and they were kind of able to be balanced and kind of keep the Steelers off balance with the running attack and the passing attack combined. When you take away that running attack, when you make it a very non-existent, you know, it was existent, but a non-impactful part of the game, you made him very human. You got 5 turnovers out of him. You got him to have a 61.7 passer rating. That's owning him in his house and setting a strong tone to start the season. I want to break down more what the Steelers did right on defense here. And we're going to get to this offense because Mitch Trubisky was bad. There's no escaping that. Came up big in the last drive. But, man, I got some thoughts about the offense. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Brightco. Now, if y'all know about Brightco, they're a jewelry insurance company that's here to help you out whenever you're missing out or you're afraid that you might be on an expensive jewelry. Remember, Brightco gives you the opportunity to have a plan as low as $5 on expensive jewelry that you bought, whether it's lost, stolen, or you just can't figure out what happened to it. If you've ever been on a YouTube dive for random fail videos, I've seen a lot of these videos where guys are about to propose, they have the engagement ring, and it falls off a boat. They drop it down a sewer, or it falls out of a helicopter as they're doing some grand entrance, and they look stupid on the internet while losing thousands of dollars in the process. Brightco can't help with the stupid on the internet part, but they can help with the thousands of dollars, because with their insurance plan, they would cover you if you ever lost the expensive jewelry item. So go to brightco.co/lockedon to see some of their insane videos and learn how you can get insurance as cheap as $5 on expensive jewelry. Again, that's brightco.co/lockedon for their amazing jewelry insurance. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter, breaking things down for you guys because we look back at this game and there's so many elements to analyze, especially when you have a game that goes down to the last second in overtime. Crazy enough, that's the second time that's happened in a row in the regular season. They beat the Ravens the same way in week 18, right? Because there's 18 weeks and that's just dumb. Are there 18 weeks? No, there's 18. Well, yeah, there's 18 weeks now. But you know what I'm saying? In the regular season finale last year, they had the same way. But to me, this is, again, why I credited it. And if you watch that Thursday episode when I was giving my prediction to the Locked On Bengals guys in the crossover, I said these are the type of wins that Mike Tomlin gets. His guys commit. They stay tough. Even when things don't go their way, they stay focused. Credit Cam Sutton. Yes, he didn't have the best game in the world, but he had a huge interception and he had a huge breakup on Jamar Chase when it was a corner route to the back part of the end zone. Joe Burrow threw a good ball. Jamar Chase beat his man. Sutton peels off his guy, jumps in the air and tips it away, almost intercepting it in the end zone. You saw detail upon detail upon detail. Again, look back at Devin Bush several times, filling the hole. Even if he didn't make the tackle, he was there to make the play. Arthur Marlette coming in. There was one play that they were lucky that Joe Burrow missed on where Arthur Marlette was supposed to be back in coverage and he wasn't. But other than that, he filled in nicely when Levi Wallace went down and he had the sack that set Joe Burrow back and set the Bengals back and forcing them to punt late in overtime to give the Steelers a second chance. All in all, I really felt that this was a dominant performance from the Steelers defense and a hopeful sign that, hey, this unit can play at a high level. This unit can go out and win tough football games against teams that have the first overall pick quarterback, have a top five wide receiver, are in their supposed prime, and this is supposed to be their year to win. They can steal these type of games, and they didn't. I'm not even sure if it was necessarily stolen because they outplayed the Bengals. Like, let's not cheapen that. They forced five turnovers. This wasn't like a few years ago when Mason Rudolph got his first start against the Niners and there were five turnovers. And like two of them were like fumbled snaps. And they were just like, oh man, these little mishaps here and there. These were interceptions. These were strips. These were fumbles forced and recovered. They made amazing plays to force that to happen. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, again, all over the field being a big part of that. Now, the TJ Watt situation, we don't know if it's a torn pec. We don't know if it's a sprained pec, whatever. It's a chest injury. Again, I will have Dr. Karina Maharaja on Tuesday's episode. She's doing her research right now to make sure that she can give us a full detailed information on that and what may be another Liz Frank injury for Najee Harris. That's just me and my speculation because it's another foot injury. We don't know if it's another Liz Frank injury. We know that was a Liz Frank sprain when Najee Harris missed most of training camp. So do not take that for the gospel yet. That's why I'm getting a doctor to come on the show. But all that being said, there's no complaints I have for the defense outside of that one play with Jamar Chase should have been double teamed. But after you've played out of your mind for four quarters and overcome several calls that I thought were questionable at best, some that were blatantly just wrong and kept the Bengals alive, you keep fighting that way. I think the Mike Tomlin would take that effort every single time. Now for the offense. guys, you needed to do something to keep him out of that. And not that it's the offense's fault that TJ Watt is hurt, because it's not. It was just football. It was a football play and it happened. But man, if the Steelers offense had just capitalized on just one or two more of those turnovers earlier in the game, they're probably not playing like that late going into the fourth quarter when TJ Watt got hurt. And that's just, to me, that's a big part of what went wrong for the Steelers offense, was they didn't capitalize on those moments. You look at this game, you look at what they were able to do, 4 of 15 on third downs. That was terrible. It's 27%. Red zone only got there twice, was able to score on one of them. Didn't get the touchdown on the other. They were able to get the pass to Najee Harris. Mitch Trubisky, my opinion, C minus, if I was to grade him, and I think I'm being kind there, but I give him the C minus instead of a D or a failing grade, because he was able to come through in the end. And he did the one thing that Mike Tomlin talked about all offseason long, and that I said on this show all offseason long will be the priority for whoever wins the Steelers starting quarterback job. He didn't turn the ball over. While Joe Burrow over there was having 5 turnovers, Mitch Trubisky was just keeping it simple. No interceptions, no lost fumbles, stayed away from, and there were opportunities for him to freak out and make the dumb mistake. And I think these were the moments that they wanted to protect Kenny Pickett from. Like the one play, I think it was Trey Hendrickson, I may be off on this, but there was a play where Trubisky was backed up into his end zone, and the Bengals just, they rushed an extra guy. He was a free man. Just, he had a free shot at Mitch Trubisky, got his hands on him in the end zone. If Trubisky eats this, it's a safety. Steelers might lose this game. Instead, Trubisky keeps his head up, sees Zach Gentry, fires a pass in his general direction. It's ruled incomplete. The Steelers stay alive and don't suffer the safety. Another play where it didn't help the Steelers, but it didn't hurt the Steelers on a third down late in the game when Mitch Trubisky, they're trying to push their way down the field. A bad snap because Mason Cole came out of the game briefly by J.C. Hasenhauer. Trubisky handles the snap, rolls to his right, gives Deontay Johnson a chance at the play deep downfield. It wasn't a great pass or anything, but he didn't turn the ball over, didn't freak out, didn't cost the Steelers more yards, and kept them in the game. That's why they have Mitch Trubisky for those moments. Now, granted, does that mean that he's the future? Like, oh, everything's great, Chris? No, it's not, because he didn't. See, there were a lot of times, at least from the broadcast view, I still got to see the all 22 here. There were a lot of times that I felt George Pickens was getting open, Deontay Johnson was getting open, and the only thing that seemed that he could rely on was Deontay Johnson or Steelers receivers on their comebacks and curl patterns on the sidelines, because those are simple one-man reads. Or, well, I guess two men. Make sure no one's underneath them, and make sure the cornerback that's covering them has been backed off by their route, and that opens everything up for them. But you didn't see the targeting down the middle part of the field that you saw in preseason. My colleague Dale Lally, we used to work together at DK Pittsburgh Sports. He tweeted out something I thought was very accurate. He said, "Listen, we saw a better Trubisky in training camp and in preseason than what we're seeing here. I don't think that was Trubisky's best at all, but I do think that he has to step up and find better, more ways to make plays." There were opportunities. At one point, I saw George Pickens get really frustrated and kind of get really angry, because he's like, "I'm getting open," and he was. And I know some of you might be saying, "Well, Chris, Mitch Trubisky had no time in this game." I disagree. When I look back at a lot of those plays, especially some of the ones where he missed, yeah, there were some plays where he was under pressure. That just happens. But he got a lot of really good protection in this game. You go back and look, he was only sacked once. There were 5 quarterback hits in this game. And again, one of them was because they just blitzed an extra man and the Steelers couldn't pick it up because they physically didn't have enough people blocking. But you compare that to, what was it, 11 quarterback hits on Joe Burrow with the offensive line that they've invested a top 10 pick in Jonah Williams. They went and got Kappa. They went and got all these other guys, Lyle Collins. You mean to tell me the Steelers' patchwork offensive line protected Mitch Trubisky better than the Bengals' highly paid and highly drafted offensive line, and you're upset about that? I think that that's where the Steelers came through in this one, is that the offensive line did not crumble. And if you remember during my crossover, the Bengals guy, Jake from Locked On Bengals, brought up how, I think that the big matchup here is Hendrickson versus Dan Moore Jr. Well, Hendrickson only touched the quarterback once. And yes, part of that's design. They were moving pockets. They were quick passes. They were designing to protect the quarterback, but that's part of the scheme. And the Steelers offensive line did a very good job, in my opinion, of giving pass protection for Mitch Trubisky to keep the pocket alive. Now, run blocking, terrible. They couldn't get any push off the ball. That was very bad. And Najee Harris suffered an injury at the end of the game, probably because of it. And that's not a good look. But if you're to take anything from this game from the offensive line, I think it's that their protection held up pretty well for Mitch Trubisky and gave him time to see the field. Now, he has to see the field better. But I do think that that's part of what the Steelers are going to be working with moving forward. And I also think, again, it's not about Mitch Trubisky's moments that he didn't necessarily make turn into big plays that I think that they're looking at and say, oh, yeah, he's a starter. They're looking at the moments where he didn't lose them the game. And that, to me, is why the Steelers said, hey, you know, this team is going to be heavily based on the defense. As a quarterback, you just got to take what's there. In this game, you could have taken more that was there. But he absolutely did never crush the Steelers with the big mistake that gave the Bengals the momentum. We're going to flip back to the defense in a sec because there's a few more notes that I think were very interesting about how this defense will be constructed. Even if TJ Watt misses time, you have to hope for the Steelers that it's maybe an injury that takes him out for a few weeks or a month. And maybe it's not the dreaded torn pec, which I believe would be a full year injury. Again, I don't know for certain, but again, I think there's remnants of this defense that can still make this team competitive, not world beating competitive and not dominantly defensive like they were today against the Bengals, but competitive against a lot of those teams that are middling and still figuring themselves out in the NFL, like the Patriots, will be coming to town next week after their loss to the Miami Dolphins. Again, we'll talk about that in just a minute here. But first, we got to talk to you guys about our friends at Prize Picks. Now, if you don't know about Prize Picks, Prize Picks is a new daily fantasy option that's going to give you a chance to win money every single sporting event, because they're in the NFL, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, even college sports. And it's very simple. It's not about betting. It's not about betting for a certain win. It's not about a money line. It's about simply picking more or less for a player. You get 2 to 5 players that you pick. Picking a weekend and say, hey, I have a feel for how their day in fantasy is going to go. So you say, hey, Prize Pick says X player, let's say TJ Watt, will he get a sack or one sack more or less than that in this game? You bet on that, you win. And if you get right, you win. You just, all you got to do is say more or less. And on Prize Picks, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You're not competing against anyone else. It's not daily fantasy where there's a million people that you're fighting against. It's all about just beating the number that Prize Picks set. That's why this is a new way of playing daily fantasy that's going to be a lot of fun and very advantageous if you know what you're doing. So go to the Prize Picks app in the App Store or the Google Play Store. Also, go to prizepicks.com to sign up, and you can start playing daily fantasy for it. And new time users will get a 100% instant deposit match on their deposit up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On. Remember, deposit up to $100 and you can get an additional $100 on your deposit match from Prize Picks. Remember, go to prizepicks.com or download the app to play daily fantasy by simply betting more or less on your favorite players. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's wrap this up, shall we, about this win? Because, again, there's a lot of different directions we can take, and we will take as the week goes on. I want to get into specific players that I get to break down more film on. But defensively, I felt like a big part of what we saw in this game that we weren't sure if we would see was synergy and communication on all levels. In the run game, even when Cam Hayward and Larry Ogunjobi were out, also I thought Larry Ogunjobi handled himself well. 4 tackles, really good job there. Cam Hayward was Cam Hayward. He's just the man. Had two tackles and a sack in this game. It helped a lot more, too, when he was just on the field and people were feeling it. But you saw when the Bengals tried to pitch out wide to get Joe Mixon chances, to stretch out the defense. The Steelers defense was just hitting hat on hat, a gap on gap, and making sure that there weren't any easy holes for him to hit. The one run that he sprang was a 31-yarder, 4th-and-1, and the Steelers were just trying everything to clog up all the holes. They lost in the middle part of the field, and there were no extra guys there, so Joe Mixon sprang a run. But you look at that. 31 yards on that run. You look at the rest of his day outside of that one kind of one that was just sprung that was against the grain of the entire day. The rest of his day was 26 carries for 51 yards. That's not even 2 yards per carry outside of that one big run. That's dominance. And again, this defense feeding off of each other. What did I say all offseason long about the linebackers? They can be the glue that puts this defense together. I really think that's a big part of this that makes this defense go, is that they have competitors at all levels who can handle their business. Now, with TJ one out, because I think he's at least going to miss some time. Even if this is miraculously not a season ender, but it's not looking great according to the reports from Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. We'll see how that goes, but they've got a lot of players on this defense that made plays even just in this game. And maybe they go on and get a Jason Pierre-Paul or someone that's just like, hey, you know what? You need to plug you on the edge. You're not going to do anything complicated. Rush the passer, turn back the run. Don't, you know, just play here. Be a vet. Fill in for the time that TJ's gone. But all in all, I looked at that communication. When one guy was getting to the hole, even if he was beat, he was holding up his man to keep the linebackers clean. And the linebackers, they attacked, they defended. Devin Bush was even really good in coverage. There was a deep route thrown to a Bengals running back where he was running by himself, single coverage downfield. He blanketed him. To me, this was a Devin Bush comeback game, if you will. It wasn't a superstar performance from him, but it was a really good performance that I thought contributed in a big way to the Steelers having that defensive chemistry. Now, whether they can keep it up, it's going to be a big question with the injuries they had late. You know, Cam Hayward went down. I think that was just more of an exhaustion thing as the game was rolling on. You saw both teams starting to have guys cramp up because football is just not meant to be played for, what was it, 70 minutes? Because it's 10 minutes in overtime, right? Yeah, so football's not meant to be played for 70 minutes. Maybe play for 60 minutes. And you saw guys starting to cramp up and not be able to handle that. That's just normal athletics. But I do think a big part of what can carry the Steelers forward is you see the cornerbacks, the safeties, how they were relying on each other. They were communicating. Very, very rarely were they out of position in this game. There were several plays too where I saw the Bengals were trying to scheme up a way to get to Jamar Chase outside of that last touchdown. Because I think that was their biggest mistake. But there was a key, I think it was a third down, or it was a second down earlier, like in the second or third quarter when the Bengals were in the red zone. By the way, I look at that. And red zone efficiency for the Bengals, 2 of 5. That's a good day for the defense. That's why they do those 7-shot drills all the time. But I look back and I remember there was a play where Hayden Hurst, the tight end, blocks Terrell Edmonds into the end zone as a sort of screen to try to clear up the space for Jamar Chase. And what happened? A linebacker pinched him from the inside. A cornerback pinched Chase from the outside. And Burrow had to throw the ball away because his main option wasn't there. They were ready. They were organized. They were focused. I think that this shows really good coordination right now from the Steelers defense, not just from TJ Watt and Cam Hayward beating guys up front, and not just from Minkah Fitzpatrick making, otherworldly plays. These were orchestrated. These were schematic. These were concepts that beat Joe Burrow, confused him, and made him look very human compared to the reports of last year. He was going to take over the conference and take over the division. And who knows? The Bengals may learn from this and carry this forward. But this was why I was saying all along, I'm not so high on the Bengals this year. They do not know what it's like to have a target on their back all season long. They were upstarts last year. And I brought this up. Jason Mackey, one of my coworkers at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, he was in Cincinnati for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And he was covering it, and he was talking to fans. And he said he was talking to a Bengals fan, how like excited they were for this game. But they said, you know, it's usually us having to worry about, have to be happy about trying to beat the Steelers. But now the Steelers have to be happy about trying to beat us. And it's like, Bengals fans, how don't you get this? Like, you're 35-62. 35 wins, 60 losses, and 2 ties in the last 5 years. And I guess they're 35-61-2 after this game. You had one good year where you were 10-7, a half game better than the Steelers, and you got hot in the playoffs with a couple really close games. I don't think that the Bengals are world beaters yet. I think that someday they could be because they have the talent on their roster, and they do have guys that are going to grow into very good to great NFL players. But like I said, you force Joe Burrow to be one-dimensional, and he gets a bit more average on you. And in this game, he was below average. We've got a lot to talk about all week long. I want to analyze Matt Canada's play calling. I simply kept it to Mitch Trubisky for this game because I felt that Trubisky just I thought the mistakes that I could see in the broadcast, that was what I wanted to analyze. But I want the all 22 to come out so I can officially go back and say, okay, these were the plays that were open, because there were sometimes I thought I saw Pat Freiermuth open over the middle, George Pickens open, Deontay Johnson open, and the ball just wasn't arriving there. Or like Najee Harris got open just in front of the line of scrimmage and Mitch Trubisky just wasn't seeing him. This happens with veteran quarterbacks who bounced around the NFL for years. This is his third team in three seasons. I'm not expecting Mitch Trubisky to be a superstar, but was Matt Canada's offense actually smartly called? I thought early on there were some really good misdirections that caused their best successes. The reverse flea flicker pass, that was brilliant. The quick pass, the looping pass to Najee Harris that got him one-on-one in space for a touchdown. Really good call. There were some reverses where Jalen Warren was able to get out in front and block for Chase Claypool. I thought those were well designed, but this offense has to produce more. Was there problems of production on Matt Canada, or was it on Mitch Trubisky missing opportunities that Matt Canada drew up? We'll talk about that more this week here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're enjoying this show, if you're enjoying yourself, a Steelers, hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you're a Steelers fan enjoying your victory Monday and feeling good about your team, let me know at Carter Critiques on Twitter and Instagram. Always appreciate any fan who reaches out. Also, if you're coming to Pittsburgh for the Patriots game, I've had a few people tell me already, give me a heads up beforehand. I'll try to meet up with you guys before the game at Acrisure Stadium / a lot of people still call it Heinz Field. But thanks again for tuning in for the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm Chris Carter, your host. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Check out this show, Locked On Steelers, on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you enjoyed the video on YouTube, hit the like button on this video if you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday episodes. We thank you for checking us out again. I'll be back on your screens and in your ears very soon, talking more about your Pittsburgh Steelers coming off this 1-0 record.